I like instruments. I like almost any kind of music that works, especially that worships our King. So how many of you had an opportunity to take your spiritual gift test sometime since last night? Awesome. Awesome. How many of you, like Vaughn, were a little surprised? Anybody? A few? A few? Yeah? Okay. How many of you were okay with it? Okay. Very good. So today we're going to look specifically at the spiritual gifts. And what I'd like to do is we're going to actually put a few up on the list of the spiritual gifts up on the screen. So if there's one, and maybe some of you did, how many of you saw the button there below that talked about the list of the spiritual gifts, and you were able to, did anybody read down over those? Yeah, very good. Sometimes it just helps to give if there's just a simple explanation or a description of a word or a gift, it helps us to kind of understand maybe what that is leaning towards. So we're going to do that today in the morning, and then this evening we're going to look more at how to blend those gifts together as a body. And just a little bit of a spoiler alert for you, towards the end of the service this evening, what I would like to do for you as a congregation is to have an open time of sharing where we just discuss that, we talk about that, but specifically I would like you to be prepared to call out a gift that you see in someone else that's sitting here. We have to be able to recognize somewhat the way God has made us, the things that he has specifically maybe given to us to use for his kingdom. But it's also very helpful if we know the people in our inner circle of how they're wired as well. If you're in a marriage relationship, you know that that's very important. There's lots of studies and things. There's the love languages, all those things to understand how your spouse is wired. It just simply makes for a better companionship, a better time together when you know that and also accommodate that. So tonight it will be more of that. So we want to look at the gifts to help maybe just to get a clearer picture of that this morning for yourself, but then also begin to recognize those in your congregation so you can share that and bless each other this evening. The scripture for today, I'm going to read two different ones. The first one's in Romans chapter 12. If you want to turn there, we're going to read that first, and then we're going to read the one in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then we're going to have just a little discussion about that. So Romans chapter 12, starting, I believe, in verse 3. Actually, we'll start in verse 1. I think it's important. There's a very important piece of this whole picture that is very necessary at the onset before we even begin to look at that, and that is what Paul talks about in the first couple verses here of submitting ourselves to the body of Christ, submitting ourselves to Christ. The old you is dying, so the Holy Spirit can renew those things that he wants to use, the gifts that he gives to you. So we'll just read this. I don't know if I'll make a lot of comments on this first passage, but I just want to show you the different passages, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with already, that specifically talk about the spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, and what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And I believe that Paul is leading into this, says when you're kind of doing a self-analysis, when you're looking at the way that he says not to think of yourself more highly, but when you use judgment and you assess the measure of faith that was assigned to you, he says do it in a godly manner, not in a self-promoting way. But then he goes into the different ways that the gifts and things that are given to each one of us. But notice what he starts with. For as one body, remember we mentioned last night, whenever this is introduced to where we begin to show the diversity of the body, he always starts with one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one God and Father of all. He says, for as one body, we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually, members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes, in generosity, the one who leads, with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Now if you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're just going to read the first 11 verses. The rest of the passage, we're not going to ignore that. It's a very important passage, but that'll come tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. I just want to stop there just to understand the context maybe of what Paul was sharing to them. Sometimes in passages like this, we kind of read those verses quickly and then we jump into the meat of what we think the passage has to say. But I think what Paul was saying in this context, remember Paul was a missionary to the Gentiles. And in the Corinthian culture, religion, there was a lot of religions. In the Greek cultures, I don't know if any of you have ever studied in your history studies the Greek gods and things like that. Or when Paul went into Acropolis, I forget the name of it, but he said, you have so many gods. Here they are, but you have one that it says to the unknown God. Let me tell you about the unknown God. This is a little bit the context that Paul was writing this letter to Corinthians. He said, you were pagan, and you're familiar with all these different religions and the things that happened, but in each religion was different. They weren't all the same. The gods were different. The relationship that humans had with the gods were different. All those, there was such a variety, and they were enamored with this type of thing, so they would study into that. But what Paul is saying is, what I'm telling you about this religion, I want to be clear. Forget all the pagan things you've learned. I want to show you how the kingdom of God works. That's what Paul was saying. He said, I want to be clear about this. It's a very realistical thing. If you go into an area where there's multiple teachings on a certain thing, but you want to show, maybe it's a trade. Maybe it's a mechanics trade or carpentry trade or whatever it is, and people are just slapping stuff together, and you say, hey, wait a second, there's codes for this, there's proper processes for this, there's engineering for this. Could I tell you about that? Let me show you what this is. So Paul's saying, I don't want you to be uninformed when it comes to all this. You've had all those other pagan systems, but I want to tell you how the kingdom of God works. Verse 3. Whoa. Sorry about that. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but the same God. Notice again in this passage, he's just reiterating again and again. There's diversity in this, but we're all one. But is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. There's a part here, I'm going to back up and just listen to this. I missed a piece in here that I want. Gifts, when you individually, so let's say you study and you determine there's certain ways that you are wired that bring you life, especially in the kingdom. Maybe it's serving. Some of you just simply get a joy out of serving. There's a good feeling. Maybe it's the widow lady next door that you get to mow her yard or whatever it is, and someone would look at that as like, man, that's a real chore. But for you, it's just, well, that's great. This is the way I get to serve her. This is the way I get to represent Jesus Christ to her. That's exciting. That's your gift. God has given that to you specifically. The person sitting beside you might think, man, that's the biggest drudge. I could do that for Jesus if I had to, but that's a chore. When we discover those things, then we have to know, and this is partly for tonight, but I just want to preface it. If you picture putting a puzzle together, and how many, I don't know if some of you enjoy that or not. That's a chore to me. That's not a spiritual gift that I have. My wife enjoys it. It's a great wintertime pastime for her. But when you get a 1,000-piece puzzle out, and you go around the edges, and you have the outline there, and you have the picture up there, what's the best way to figure out where a piece goes? If you picture that, you pick up a particular piece, and you think, man, I wonder where that fits. And you hold it in the framework of the picture, and you hold it up to the picture and think, man, I wonder if that could go here. And you look around. It's the same with your spiritual gifts. The beauty of the gift is in the body. The value from the gift comes from the body, not the other way around. What you bring to the body isn't where the best value that comes from. It becomes of you being involved in the body of Christ, in that picture, so that when that puzzle piece, when you find the home for that puzzle piece and you click it in there, there's that satisfaction of the next piece that got put in there, but it begins to complete the picture, right? That's the most meaning that you can get out of that is when you place it in the greater context. If you leave it outside and you never try to associate with that, the chances of that puzzle piece fitting in there, it's probably going to be one of the last pieces. Somewhere throughout there, most of those pieces have been picked up and say, where do I fit? How does this work? How can I fit in the picture? That is being part of the context of the body of Christ. So I have a little object lesson that will hopefully bring a little bit of context to that. So we said last night that Jesus Christ completely exhibited all of the gifts. So Jesus was the perfect man. Every gift that we feel that's mentioned in here, or whether it's love or it's justice or it's serving or it's administrating or it's Jesus Christ perfectly exhibited those. I would have loved to be walk next to him, right? Guess what? We kind of get to do that when we walk in body. So this is, if we picture this now, on a hot day, this might look, if it was ice cold, this might look really attractive. My point was, it's supposed to exhibit everything. It might, if you picture Kool-Aid on a hot day, it might be to you something beautiful. But then we have these different, this is Jesus, this is you and I. And when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we are baptized into his kingdom, there is a miraculous thing that happens that we looked at in Ephesians chapter 4 last night, is that he disperses those pieces of himself into all of us. Every one of us sitting here that is a follower of Jesus Christ has been distributed that. So if you kind of picture with me, if maybe there's a service a little bit like this, or it's a Sunday morning service, or whatever, whatever activity it is that the body has been brought together to do, and we invite your neighbor in. Maybe he's not a Christian, maybe it's someone across the street, whatever it is, and we don't have, so first of all, it takes someone with administrative skills to be able to pull something like this off. So let's say this first person has the gift of administration. Now that's going to filter through there. And his gift is administrating. There's other things that he's not that. Maybe he's not real good at even making that person, your neighbor, feel extremely welcome when he comes in the door, because he's focused on making sure that the sound is working, that the program is in place, that everything is, and he does really well with that. I'm going to use Javen as an example, and he knew I was going to do this. Javen does well with that. I, by the way, you've been blessed with some of your young people here. Not just him, but he's one of them. So let's say there's this person who's an administrator. He has a gift of administration. He puts a structure in place that makes this whole thing happen. Well, while he's sitting there, maybe your friend, your neighbor comes in, and there's teaching that's happening. And this person has the gift of teaching. again, his part is not administrating. He doesn't do really much of anything to bring this whole thing, this weekend that we're having right now. A teacher many times will not be very good at drawing in all, of keeping the structure there, keeping the flow going together. He just comes in for an hour in the evening, and he's been studying the Word of God, and God has revealed things to him, and he teaches well. And that your neighbor sitting there hears about Jesus through that. First of all, he's here. There's this activity that's been planned. He's welcome. He comes in, but he hears about Jesus. Meanwhile, down in the kitchen, there's a servant that is serving well. They're setting up the tables. They are making sure the church house is clean for this, so it's not trashy. It looks good when people come in, and they're even cooking food. They're just serving, and you don't really see them. They're downstairs. They're not even part. They're not up front. They're not teaching. They're not moderating this thing or whatever. But they're kind of behind the scenes. But man, does that food smell good? You smell that, and we don't even really think about, we don't even know the person's name maybe that's making, but God has gifted them in that way. And while your neighbor's sitting there thinking, man, this is quite the group of people. I hear about Jesus, and I think there's love here. After the service, there is someone that has pastoring ability. And when the amen is said, he comes up and he says, "Hey, what's your name? How are you? Are you local here? Is this kind of your hometown?" "Yeah, it is. But I haven't been in church for 10 years. I've just had a really rough road. My wife left me. I've lost one of my children." And the pastor puts his arm around and said, "Man, that's tough. That's really hard to hear that. But you know, while you're here, there's these people that care about you. Would you stay for lunch? Before we do that though, I believe that Jesus is the one that makes a difference. Could I just say a prayer for you?" And he puts his arm around and he prays with him. And then the neighbor goes downstairs, has lunch, and the hospitality of the people just leave him kind of in wonder. So all along, this administrator, he did what he could. He does this. He's here because he wants to be part of the kingdom. He wants to represent Jesus. And the teacher, he does what he does, but he's not really good at some of the rest of the stuff. But man, he sure loves Jesus, and he wants to represent him. And if he met this guy on the street by himself, he would possibly share his first inclination would be to share some truth from the Word of God, maybe in a good way, kind of an abrupt way, and maybe it would have been received, maybe it would not have been. But as this neighbor sits here, and you begin to bring these things together as a body, the administrator is doing what he does, the teacher does what he does best, and the servant, even though maybe we don't always see the servant as much as we should sometimes, and the more that these things get blended together, the more this neighbor begins to see, man, there's something really attractive about this. There's something I'd like to kind of be part of this. I've felt all these different things. The pastor loves on him. All of a sudden your neighbor leaves and he's seen a pretty clear picture of Jesus as we brought those things into the body and we experienced it together. That's how Jesus is represented as we bring our gifts and we share it in the context of a body. Now that can happen at church. That can happen in your workplace sometimes. These gifts are not only given to you just to be represented here on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday evening. There's gift of craftsmanship, things that God has given you, the ability to build things, to make things, to use that in the context of his kingdom. And you'll find other realms that you blend in as you continue to represent Christ. But the way that people see a more complete picture is the context of the greater body of Christ. And maybe some of this is more spread out. It doesn't happen all here on a Sunday morning, but God has called you in your workplace. Maybe your coworker that you work beside, you have the gift of hospitality, and maybe you've had him over for dinner one night. Your wife, your wife, whoever it is, cooks him a good lunch, and that's the representation of hospitality and love. And that same coworker in a different circle experiences someone that speaks truth into his life about a situation he's going through, and he sees that piece of it, and someone else in his life puts his arm around him and walks with him through some tough things. That is the greater body of Christ. Maybe it doesn't all happen right here, but what God has gifted you with and called you to, you don't always know, and you won't know that until we get to the other side, how some of these have affected and the circles that you have been involved in. You were made for the day, and the day was made for you. The distribution of the talents, the gifts, has a lot to do with God, what God has called you to. That can be where you go to church, where you work, the family you're in, the task and the purpose God assigned to you, he's gifted you for, and there's an accountability that goes with that. Andy Stanley, a long time ago, a few years back, referenced this to like a leadership. He said, leadership is temporary. Let me read the exact quote here. Leadership is a stewardship. Also, a gift is a stewardship. It is temporary, and we are accountable. We have this season that God has given to us. He's given us a purpose. He's given us a gift to accomplish that, and we'll be accountable for that, just like in the parable of the talents. Okay, so what I'd like to do now is just go over a couple common questions that people might have when you talk about the spiritual gifts. Maybe one of you, as we just look at this weekend, and you saw the topic for it, and you maybe even heard some of the things last night, and there's some things pop up in your mind, say, well, what about this, or how does this work? You're welcome to share that now. I'll kind of go over a list of common questions I think that are fairly normal to maybe understand how some of this works. But if you have other questions afterward, I'm going to give a little bit of time for that. We can discuss that. Who has one? Who has a gift? Every Christian. Ephesians 4:7 says, but grace is given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. What is a gift? It's an expression of the grace of God. It's a characteristic action or attribute of the person of Jesus Christ, like the object lesson we just used. It's a gift that he has distributed to us of himself. When do you receive a spiritual gift? At rebirth. They're given by the Holy Spirit, like in 1 Corinthians 12. They may take some time to develop or manifest. And there can also be specific giftings for a period of time that God gives for specific purposes. Paul talks about laying on of hands to Timothy as he was getting ready to leave for a specific mission that he had given to him. Here's a common one. What is the difference between a natural talent and a spiritual gift? Both are given by God, one at birth and one at rebirth. This is kind of an interesting one because there is natural talents are many times genetically given. They're passed down. If someone has a specific talent or something that they're good at, maybe they're very athletic, maybe they're very good with math, things like that. There's a natural talent, the DNA that is passed genetically down from one generation to the next. So some of those things get passed on. I believe that God can take those very things at our spiritual rebirth and begin to use that for his kingdom. Think of Saul of Tarsus, a very studied man. I believe he's a very intelligent man, wholeheartedly serving the kingdom of this world, doing his best to destroy Christians, to destroy this new religion that was coming out. When God got a hold of him, you see some of the very same traits that he exhibited before his rebirth when he was using them against the kingdom. You see those swung back as the Holy Spirit used some of his natural gifts for the Spirit, for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Natural talents can be genetically passed. Once you have it, it is yours. It will improve as much as you practice or work at it, as in sports or music or speech. Spiritual gifts are supernatural, which your normal body cannot produce. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. If you desire to improve, you give him more right to control. Here's one of the greatest paradoxes in life today. It says, like the Matthew 18:3 says, unless you become like this child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus spoke this to some of the most learned, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, very learned in the law, Old Testament law. But I picture Jesus saying, as he had a child sitting on his knee, he said, unless you come, as he was talking and preaching, he said, unless you become like one of these children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, it's so simple. You just have to believe in Jesus Christ. So we have this issue in humanness, the more that we study, so we can accept that when we're a new believer, right? Kind of. We can say, okay, that's pretty simple, but then we begin to read the Bible, we begin to study, and we begin to figure things out, and all of a sudden we get to a place that we feel like we know the Bible, we know the proper actions that go with it, and it's not so much about just a simple faith in Jesus Christ. The paradox of that is, as we grow and as we learn, the only goal that we have is to be more founded and more determined that it's just simple. That's all it is, just through Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ is the only way that we'll enter the kingdom of heaven. Instead, so it's kind of a paradox. The more learned we become, we don't think simple and learned are two different things, but the more learning that we have just grounds us further in the fact that it's only through Jesus. The spiritual gifts are much like that as we, let's just say, Javen, you're so easy to use as an example here. Let's just say Javen is one of the ones that's in charge of this, and maybe he's a moderate administrator of it, and he does a pretty good job. He says, man, okay, I learned this, and the next time we do this, I'm going to make this improvement. He does an evaluation after this all over. And the second one, he's got a whole list of things that he learned with the last time he did it. He got a little better at it, and after a while, there's not much prayer goes into it. There's not much leading of the Holy Spirit because Javen's done this about 10 times now, and there's people from other states are calling him, say, hey, could you come run a youth weekend for us, because we just know, you know, you get everything together and everything runs well, and that dependency begins to shift to our experience. And the things that we've learned in that, instead of saying, Holy Spirit, this is your gift. You've given this to me. This is fresh and new. What do you have for me? I don't want to try to mess this up by just putting something in place that I think I know from the last time. I've learned this, and those things are okay, but we have to open it with our open hands. As we grow in the using of our gift, that's what it looks like. It looks like giving the Holy Spirit more control of that because it's His. And the best job we can do with that is to let Him run it. Right? We have these ideas, and we can default to those sometimes, but what covers over that is say, Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, show me how you want me to represent you with what you've given me. All right. Javen, are you ready to pop up some? Go ahead. Let's start with the first one. We're going to go over the 21 gifts that were listed here. That's perfect. Can everybody see that okay from where you're at? I'm just going to read off. We're just going to go down through the gifts and read off some of the different ones. And then I would love to hear, we're going to finish with this. But I'd love to just hear three or four volunteers read the results of your gift off. Everybody's kind of curious. I know they are. Because when you take one, you're like, I wonder what so-and-so's was. I think this is going to be his primary gift, but I'm not sure. And I heard a couple of you say they were a bit surprised. So let's read down over these, and then maybe we'll have a little bit of open time before we close. Administration, the gift of administration is the divine strength or ability to organize multiple tasks and groups of people to accomplish these tasks. And you can just keep flipping right on through numbers, and I probably won't say a lot about them. Apostleship. The gift of apostleship is the divine strength or ability to pioneer new churches and ministries through planting, overseeing, and training. I might make one comment about, okay, it's going to be really hard not to make comments, I'll be honest. Apostleship is very similar to someone that is maybe an entrepreneurial businessman. And I'm sure you know some, that probably half the people in here have done something like this, where they, maybe they started a lawn mowing business or something, and guess who gets to mow the yard? You do. Guess who gets to write out the bills? You do. Guess who gets to sell the job? You do. All of those things, it relies on you. That's what an apostle is. He goes, he's sent out, and there's multiple things that God has given to him to be able to do these kind of in rough draft form. But as that business grows, maybe he has time, maybe his wife starts to make the do the billing for him or whatever it is, or he's able to hire someone to go out and mow yards so he can go sell the next job or whatever it is. And as that business continues to grow, the apostle sees someone in his congregation and said, "Man, you would make you're a great pastor. You care for people much better than I do." And that gets added. That's a gift that he brings in. Says, could I utilize? Could you go see so-and-so? And they're in the hospital or whatever it is. And then there's different gifts that begin to get added to that. And you begin to see that more complete picture grow. The apostle, he wants to let those things go. He's not one that says, "Man, I'm a pastor. Don't let anybody. I'm afraid someone will take that job from me." The apostle says, "We need to find people to do these jobs." And when he does, he looks around and he says, "I think I'm done here. Let's go find somewhere else. Let's go to the next state over, the next town over, and man, there's people there that need to hear about Jesus, and this is well taken care of. There's pastors, there's teachers, there's administrators, all those things. I'm not even needed here anymore." And he's happy for that. That's what the apostle does. Okay. Let's go to the next one. Craftsmanship. This in our culture, we're good at this. I'll just say that, and I want to say at the onset of this, we have what we're talking about here is specific gifts within a local body of believers. There's also a way to spread that out a bit more, and I'll just preface this right up front. Anabaptists don't do the best with this, partly because we're very determined with our doctrine. We want to make sure that if the Bible says to do it, that we're doing it just right. And if another group doesn't do it quite like we do, we feel a little safer if we just kind of build a little bit of a hedge. But if you look into different denominations from hundreds of years ago up until now, you'll discover that different denominations have different things that they somewhat excel in, kind of like gifts, kind of like different bodies. It's not in a small sense individual, but groups of people are better at them. Maynard and Ruth, one of the things that they did at New Horizons was part of the aftercare program for moms. So we've been at New Horizons for 14 years, and I can tell you through that whole process, aftercare for adult men or women, we have struggled and tried to do that from almost the beginning. Just quite honestly, we're not very good at it. It's somewhat of a cultural thing. We look outside of our culture. We can visit different places, and that's not to say Maynard and Ruth did a bad job at all. And it's not the part of caring. There's something in that that we've just struggled with. Maybe the magical key will get turned one of these times. But in my recollection, with lots of different people, lots of different moms, all of that, it's been a tough job. We can look outside of people that put in different church communities and things like that, that put way less effort into it than we do, and they're doing a great job. Guess what we do good at? Ever heard of Christian Aid Ministries? All over the world. It was in years ago, it was in the top 500 companies, I think, in the nonprofit companies in the world. We do good with craftsmanship. That's an Anabaptist trade thing that we have excelled in for many, many years, and that's okay. Maybe we have to be a little bit more open to, and I'll be careful how I say this, because I have a belief system just like you do, and I'm not willing to compromise that. But when I look around of the different areas of the body of Christ that are serving the kingdom and they're doing it better than I can, I have to acknowledge that and say, "Jesus, you bless them. Let them work with that. Continue to do that." So that's in the greater context. Craftsmanship is something that we're familiar with. The gift of craftsmanship is a divine strength or ability to plan, to build, to work with your hands in construction environments, and I would say even mechanical environments, to accomplish multiple ministry applications. Discernment. The gift of discernment is a divine strength or ability to spiritually identify falsehood, to distinguish between right and wrong motives, and the spiritual forces at work in situations. Very important in the body of Christ. Evangelism. The gift of evangelism is the divine strength or ability to help non-Christians take the necessary steps to become a born-again Christian. If I could make a note of this again, this is not in any way to be negative towards our faith. This is not something the Anabaptist church has done well with. If you read, I love to read some of the stories of great missionaries and evangelists in the mid-1900s. There's some incredible stories of people that went to unreached people groups and tribes and people that had never heard the gospel, that gave their lives, that died for it. And whole tribes, whole villages are converted to Jesus Christ as a result of it. I bless them. I love that. We don't see a lot of that. We put some effort into it. I think it's appropriate for that. Maybe it's something, there might be people sitting here that change that flow, that God has gifted them in that. Exhortation, the gift of exhortation is the divine strength or ability to strengthen, comfort, or urge others to action through the written or spoken word and biblical truth. Faith, the gift of faith is the divine strength or ability to believe in God for unseen supernatural results in every arena of life. Giving, the gift of giving is a divine strength or ability to produce wealth and to give by tithes and offerings for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God on earth. Healing, the gift of healing is a divine strength or ability to act as an intermediary in faith, prayer, and by laying on of hands for the healing of physical, mental, and spiritual sickness. Helps, the gift of helps is a supernatural strength or ability to work in a supportive role for the accomplishment of tasks in Christian ministry, with the ability to often see the need for others before others do. Hospitality, the gift of hospitality is a divine strength or ability to create warm, welcoming environments for others in places such as your home, office, or church. Intercession, gift of intercession is a divine strength or ability to stand in the gap in prayer for someone, something, or some place, believing for profound results. Word of knowledge is the divine strength or ability to bring truth to a situation by supernatural revelation. It's often accompanied by a word from God. Leadership, it's a divine strength or ability to influence people at their level while directing and focusing them on to the big picture, vision, or idea. Gift of mercy is divine strength or ability to feel empathy and to care for those who are hurting in any way. Miracles. Gift of miracles is divine strength or ability to alter the natural outcomes of life in a supernatural way through prayer, faith, and divine direction. Pastor shepherd. It's a divine strength or ability to care for personal needs of others by nurturing and mending life issues. Gift of prophecy, it's the divine strength ability to communicate God's truth and heart in a way that calls people to a right relationship with God. Service, the gift of service, serving is a divine strength ability to do small or great tasks in working for the overall good of the body of Christ. Teaching, gift of teaching, it's the ability to study, learn from the scriptures primarily to bring understanding and depth to other Christians. Tongues, the divine strength or ability to pray in a heavenly language to encourage your spirit to commune with God. The gift of tongues is often accompanied by interpretation and should be used appropriately. In fact, the scripture calls for that. The word of gift of wisdom is the divine strength or ability to understand and bring clarity to situations and circumstances, often through applying the truth of the scripture in a practical way. That's the last one, right? Yep. Okay. So how many of you, as you went through that, there's one of those stuck out and you're like, I just know that's really easy for me. Anybody? Yes? No? So I mentioned one of my gifts, one of the primary things for me is exhortation. It's not often at all when I finish my personal devotions up in the morning that I'll have three or four people that come to my mind that I was like, oh man, I wonder how they're doing. I wonder if they're, I should send them a quick text. And I'll send three or four different texts out to people just encouraging them for their day, for something that I either know they're going through or I just think they might need a word of something to cheer them up. Or just know that they're appreciated. That happens very often. So it's not hard for me to know that that's one of the things that God has called me to do in the kingdom. There's probably many of you, at least some of you, that would not get that thought very often. But you're thinking of something that I'm not thinking of. So, all right, this is your time now. How many, does anybody want to share what at least your primary one or two gifts were? I don't know a lot of names, but I can point and call shirt colors and dress colors and things like that if you're, so we have a mic in the back there. Who would like to be first? Don't be shy. We're going to talk about offering that gift tonight. And what you have to remember is you're not exalting yourself because it's not your gift. It's the Holy Spirit's gift that was given to you for a stewardship. So when you use that, you're honoring Him. You have the mic. You might as well start back there in the back. Did you take the test?
I did, yes.
Okay.
So yeah, my top five results were craftsmanship, mercy, helps, giving, and administration. So yeah, a few of those, I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. A few were maybe not quite so obvious to me. But yeah, I guess something I need to, pour into more and see where I can apply it.
Sure.
More.
That's great. Tell you what, let's make this more fun. How about you pick somebody? Just hand the mic to them. And then they can point to someone else when they're.
Yeah, this is real interesting and good. I just like to just pick out someone. I just love looking at people and seeing people and enjoying you because there is that part of Christ that comes through. That's so beautiful. You each are beautiful in that sense. Mm-hmm. That part of Christ. Christ is so beautiful, and I just thought of people that are quiet often, but like Abe Slaball, I see his gifting of a touch of administration, way of organizing, and also the ability to make money, and that's real great, wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's very good. All right, we need a couple more yet.
I guess for me, my third, fourth, and fifth one makes sense, but actually the first two, I was a little surprised. In order there, it's pastor, shepherd, exhortation, mercy, hospitality, and giving. And I think it also helped me to like read kind of the definitions, because maybe in my mind, my perception of things maybe are a little bit different, but it makes more sense.
I wasn't surprised at all. My first one is mercy, and I guess one of the questions that I might have about mercy is sometimes I say that I have the gift of mercy, but maybe I don't feel it. Maybe I do it more out of I need to, or this is what is expected of me, but just having the right attitude about it.
If I could, and I don't know if this will bring any clarity to you or not, a lot of times people with a strong gift of mercy also feel that it's easy for people to take advantage of them because they feel like they're soft and they care. So there's also some defense mechanisms that kind of get put up if you sense that there's some danger through that, or someone is abusing the system or whatever. There is that mercy's there, but I've noticed in that someone that's really soft-hearted and cares like that, there's some self-protective things that can pop up as part of that. Some of those things that you say, maybe, yeah, man, I think I should feel mercy for this person, I'm just not. Maybe that's just some an understanding that I'm not saying that that's right or wrong, but I think that's maybe a attribute of some of that. Did you pick somebody? Okay. We'll let the usher. This is the time when the usher has power tonight, this morning. He's got the mic and he can pass it around. just do one or two more yet. Well, and what I'd like to do is get you prepared for this. I'm sure this afternoon you'll probably have some conversations about it, but this evening we're going to talk more about that and then how to offer and to blend those together.
My top one was Pastor Shepherd, which really surprised me. Exhortation, mercy, discernment, and helps was in that order then. But I don't know. I think my the confidence, when I think of Pastor Shepherd, I think of a person that is confident, and I'm not often that confident, so.
So any thoughts on that? Is she viewing that correctly? That is a pastor? Is that what you think of when you think? I think of caring when I think of pastor. Not necessarily the confident piece of it as much, but just the caring piece of it. But yeah, don't let that scare you. One more.
I guess I was somewhat surprised too. I'll say what they are first. Number one was mercy, then discernment, Pastor Shepherd, craftsmanship, and exhortation. The mercy one, all the questions about that, I feel deeply for people. I can't stand to see people hurting, all that. But then I don't really see myself as a, I don't know, having that gift. And yet, maybe that's true. And yeah. And then the discernment, I would have thought more would be the number one. So I don't know. I'm not sure. But
yeah.
I want to, whatever gift God has given me, that's...
Yeah, very good.
In fact, I want to display the whole picture of Christ, but I also realize this is that gifts are important. So that's what I want to do is, go with this and...
Yeah. So in this context, what you said is very important. Our goal and our desire, it says to earnestly desire the best gift. In all those areas, we want to move to what this picture of Jesus Christ looks like. But here's what happens. When you operate in the context of a body with your gift, those things of the people around you, begin to absorb those in. So I didn't even mention this yet. My wife and I are very different. Especially when we first got married, she has a strong gift of mercy. I would lean very heavily on the prophecy side. How many of you know prophets are not typically very merciful? They see things very black and white, and what you need to know is just truth, and then you deal with it from there, right? So that's a big spread. We were very far apart. After 26 years, I can tell you my wife can speak some prophecy too, and I'm much more caring in a lot of areas than I was when we first got married. That's the body of Christ. We begin to build each other up, and as we get closer to the head, like Ephesians 4 said last night, we all begin to look a little bit more like him. But I notice when I separate myself out of merciful people or the body, I begin to drift back to kind of the cold, abrupt Nelson. I just share truth. You fix it. You know better. You know what the Bible says. You should. You know how you should act. If I separate myself away from that, I know I need the body of Christ. I know I need those other gifts that continue to draw me up to what Jesus looks like. Thank you. Javen, anything before we close?
Lunch will be ready in about 15-20 minutes. So if you guys just want to fellowship up here, remember to sign up for the cornhole tournament if you want to play. And also, yes, if you bring coffee into the auditorium, please have a lid on it, and if you don't mind, hold it till it's empty. So the lid is mandatory. The holding till empty is optional. But what did you say? Best practice last night?
There you go.
So thank you guys so much. The goal of the afternoon is to just have fellowship, enjoy each other's company, and have fun with it. So if you want to remember the noon meal in your prayer, and that'll be ready in about 15 minutes or so. Thank you.
That's awesome. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your presence here with us this morning by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for instruction from your word, and thank you for the body. I pray that today as we socialize together and as we fellowship together and as we literally practice the things that you've given to us in the body today, just as we enjoy each other's company, there are those things that are going to come out because they're natural for us since we have been part of your kingdom. So I bless that. I pray that it would be a rich afternoon. Thank you for the food that you've again. And the way it sounds, we didn't have to cook it this time. Someone brought it in to us. So it's just the country that we live in, we're incredibly blessed. Father, we honor you for that. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.